All right, we'll call the Committee of Agriculture, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Finance to order. Representative Finstead moves the minutes of March 19, 2008. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Members, here's what we're doing today, and I'm certainly open to anything you want to do. We've got three items of business. The first one, it's my intent to send the biodiesel bill as a standalone out of the committee. It's also in our omnibus bill, but being smart legislators that we are on this committee, we want to make sure we have a number of ways to make sure our bills get passed. And so this one we'll send to the floor standalone. We hope we don't have to take it up in the future, but I can't predict what that future is. So if you look in your folder, you'll see House File 2987. You also see 2987 UE, which is unofficial engrossment number one. So this UE1 is actually the bill, and it's the bill we passed out of committee last time. So it's got all the amendments that were put on are in the unofficial engrossment. You see the money's been taken out, so it's just a policy bill now. And I do have one amendment, which I'd move right now. It's the A9 amendment. Basically what this is, and I've checked with folks like the truckers and others, they're aware of this. We kind of locked in on page 2 the federal credit of $1, and we already know it's 50 cents for animal biodiesel, and we don't know if that dollar will always be there. So basically we're going to change it to say after any applicable per gallon federal tax credit. So in the future we don't have to come back and amend this bill based on what the federal government does. It's for the price offering. So any questions on that amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A9 amendment say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That's adopted. So now I would renew my motion that House File 2987, the unofficial engrossment one, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance. And a sub-note, that means it's also then on its way to the House floor, because I don't think Finance has any dealings with this anymore. Any questions to the bill? The B-20 bill. If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The bill is passed. Thank you, members, for that. All right. Now we're going to go as quickly as we can to our omnibus bills. We have two of them. Let's see what order our staff put them in. I'm going to be a hint on which one we want to... So we've got the fiscal bill first. Let me explain a little bit why there's two bills and what they mean. What you see is, obviously last year we put together one omnibus bill for Ag and Board of Animal Health and Veterans Affairs, and all the accounts we have go into one bill. We did Ag, Finance, and Policy. Well, again, if you think about these two as one bill, that's exactly what we did last year. But because we're putting together one supplemental budget bill or corrections bill like we've done in the past years, we have to pass our fiscal elements, or some of them. There's still some fiscal stuff in the other, and we'll explain that when we get there. But any money changes to future budgets, we have to pass, send to Finance, and they will compile that in a large bill and send that on to the floor, Ways and Means and the floor. So we've had to pull out as simply as we can, but as you'll see, there's some rider language that has to come with some of these numbers. We've tried to pull out the fiscal elements, put them together, and then leave the wording of the bill as well as some minor fiscal changes in the other bill. So we actually have two omnibus bills, but the one will come to the floor via us. The fiscal stuff will come to the floor via Representative Carlson and his bill that he puts together in Finance at the end of this week, starting Thursday. So I will review, I think, the Finance first, then we'll do the policy. Certainly we can take questions today, and there's people in the audience to take questions. By the way, there's extra chairs here too if people don't have room. I'd ask the page to make sure there's chairs. People can pull them up to the side if you're uncomfortable standing. But anyway, we'll go through, we'll talk about the fiscal issues, and from there we'll take questions. people, like I say here, to explain things, because there's some new things in here, and I'll apologize up front for that, but at the last minute, we were putting this together, and I want to thank staff, too, by the way. We were putting this together literally Friday. Some of us, not us, but some of the staff, Sunday night, believe it or not, and Monday, they certainly were here. And so with that type of time frame, there may be some errors in here, and there may be some questions. That's why tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we will take both these bills up then, and we'll take any amendments at that time. And I know there's already amendments. Representative Szymanski has an amendment, I believe, for gambling proceeds at veterans clubs. Representative Peterson's talked to me about an amendment. Representative Magnus has talked to me about an amendment. Again, I'm going to ask folks, if you have amendments or you see changes to be made, please come talk to us. Talk to Representative Finstead, or talk to me, or talk to both of us, if possible. Remember, this is a committee without rules, so we're happy to take things as they come, but obviously it's a lot easier if we can work things out ahead of time and have less infighting then on the bill and get out of here on a timely basis. We did that last year, and I appreciate that from members, and hopefully out of respect for the process, as soon as you know you have something that's needed, let us know. All right? Any questions as that procedure? Seeing none, we will look now. I'm looking at the DE1 amendment for House File 3981. And again, we're just going to present the bill. Tomorrow we'll actually move the bill and amend it, but now it's for information only. So what you see, and by the way, there's a spreadsheet also, and Mr. Reinholz is here, and he can walk us through that maybe afterwards so you understand what the spreadsheet is, and he can explain then all the stuff that I missed, and then he can ask staff why it's stapled in the wrong corner again, but we'll get at that later. One of my pet peeves, always run one copy through first. And then, all right, here we go. And there are some corrections. I'll point them out on the way that I've actually found proofreading it this morning myself for the first time in hard form. Page 1, Department of Agriculture is the first. There's a $302,000 reduction in the base. And again, remember, members, as we're sitting here, they just passed the targets out of Ways and Means, and we have a target of... Mr. Reinholz, what's our target for this year?
Mr. Chairman, the target that I was told would be passed over to happen right now for 4809 would be $2,422,000.
Okay. And then we also have a tails target we're trying to meet, and that is?
Mr. Chairman, members, that is for the 10-11 fiscal year, $4,550,000.
Okay. So both of those we're trying to look at. So as we think about amendments or relocating money in here, we have to consider base items and one-time cuts as we go through too. So again, lines 1.2 to 1.21, there's a cut of $302,000. I've actually talked with the department on this, and we need to give to staff, we need to give a little more direction. We actually forgot to put that in here. There's a piece, members, that I think will come out of marketing. I mean, we've actually looked to see where there may have been some staff eliminations and other things so that the pain here is as little as possible. And so we're actually going to be a little more directive on where these cuts come from, and we'll see an amendment on that tomorrow, just so you know, and we have been visiting with the department on that. So, but that's a base cut to the department. The next line is livestock investment grant money, and at this point, it's almost it's $2.695 million, almost $2.7 million in the livestock investment grant. Someone please pass that on to Representative Erdahl. I don't think he's here, but he'll be anxious to hear that. Representative Finstead, surprised he isn't sitting here at the table. So, and
he
won't
be enough.
And he, no, well, the original fiscal note was about $10 million a year. And you folks know we need to get going on this, and we're hopeful we can save a lot of this. But again, once it gets to the Finance Committee, I didn't really talk about this with the Finance Chair, so it's kind of an Ag Committee thing, and we'll see how it plays out. I know the Senate's going to try and put some money in there also, although I think we're going to be much higher. The next one is a cancellation, and again, it cancels, but it's obviously reused within this bill. All our accounts are in one for your purposes. So we can move things from Board of Animal Health to Ag to Veterans Affairs. We can move things around within this division. If you remember last year, we did Elk River Bioenergy. It was a plasma project. They informed me a month ago or so that they were not going to utilize that. So again, rather than have that target out there for someone else to use, we canceled that back in, and we're able to use it through our bill. So that was a $200,000 cancellation on that. This is a new one, lines 2.8 to 2.29, and we can certainly have more testimony on this tomorrow if you want. $60,000, Representative Solberg approached me. He had a bill in higher ed last year that basically was for an internship program for agriculture out in D.C. And it was this year the D.C. budget came out, the federal budget, and it's the Department of Agriculture out there that is matching this money 2-to-1. And so Representative Solberg asked if we could move that bill from higher ed over here because it's really agriculture now. And I said, I think the committee would be okay with that. But again, that's a Solberg bill that has been introduced, has been heard, and we're just simply moving it over here because of where the money comes from federally. But if you want more information on any of this, let the staff know. We can bring someone in to testify on any of this if there's questions tomorrow. All right, that's it for agriculture. So again, very little little done, but large amounts in certain areas. Next section is Board of Animal Health. What you see there is the entire amount that was requested by Board of Animal Health. We have just basically taken their request and moved it over. I should mention Representative Olin also has a bill that references a buyout program. That's not part of this, the buyout. If people want buyouts of cattle herds, I think someone above our pay grade is going to have to send us more money down here because we don't have that kind of funding right now, Representative Olin. We appreciate your bill, but that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Chairman. I've got a question on the actions in the tax committee last week. How does that affect this TB funding?
The actions, Representative Magnus, thank you for that question. Again, the tax committee, a reminder, Representative Lincheski, without talking to anyone in Ag or any other committee that I'm aware of, was given a directive, like we all are as committee chairs, to put out a bill. And so she didn't even talk to her own committee members, like I kind of don't sometimes either, but I at least have a nice open process, I hope, as we go forward.
But you talk to me a lot.
I do talk to you a lot, but that's another story. But what she did was eliminate all corporate subsidies out of the statute, every one of them. Well, in those subsidies was a subsidy for farms, which are considered businesses, small businesses, be it for credit, tax credits for TB testing. She understood that same day, as she was approached by many of us, that there's a crisis in the state for TB now. She indicated, at least verbally to me, that that was not going to be part of her final bill, that it was laid out there, but that money does not affect this money. That's above what this is. So that's an additional amount. If a farmer chooses not to take Board of Animal Health money for their testing, some farmers just like to go do it and get moving. They just do it and take the tax credit. Makes sense for some of them. So does that answer? Representative Olin.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. I imagine I do have to bring up a new question of where are we going to find the $6 million or $5 million, whatever number it is, for voluntary buyout.
And Representative Olin, like I said, as you will learn, that's a pay grade way higher than Finstead and Junkie. You have to go talk to the head of Ways and Means and Finance, and maybe even down to the Speaker's office eventually if you want that kind of money. But again, doesn't mean it's not available. It just wasn't there when we put the bill together. You had a late bill come in, and those discussions haven't been had yet. Representative Hamilton?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, everybody understands the importance of this program, the TV piece, and it's frustrating that we can spend $25 million a year to spray for mosquitoes around the metro area, but yet we cannot find the money to focus on probably the biggest agriculture issue that we're seeing. Representative Olin has a good bill, a number of us signed on to it, and there's money available. You know there's money available. Like I said, we spend $25 million a year to spray for mosquitoes. If we have to choose, how about we set aside that money, put that towards TV, and focus on it now, because otherwise it's going to end up costing us a great deal in the future. You know, not only is the Minnesota farmers in jeopardy, but we're also looking at North Dakota, South Dakota, any of the other states as well. This is a serious issue, and we need to be addressing it.
And I agree, Representative Hamilton, I agree. Again, we need to move, and I will also move with Olin over to the Finance Committee and talk about this, and or discussions as we move down. Obviously, this is going to be debated with the Senate, the House, and the Governor's Office, so we hope all of them are involved with advocating for this, as I know the Ag Committee is. So, but I agree with you 100%, Representative Hamilton. Anything else to TV? Okay. Most of the changes then will be in the Veterans Affairs portion of the bill, starting on page 3. Subdivision 2 is, again, you see changes, and we'll talk about them as we go on the top, so overall changes, but the CBSO request is funded in lines 3.14 to 3.17. That's just additional money for our county officers to use for their grant programs and service programs. Again, that was requested, and we did that. A lot of these numbers, 3.18 through 3.27, are kind of oversight language. We think it's a good idea that this committee, after we give out money, next year we're budgeting in the full year, we want folks to come back, let us know if that was enough, not enough, how much was for administration, how much went actually to the veterans on the ground, which, you know, I think we assume when we give $500,000 that most of that money would be right to the veterans. But I don't know that for sure. So we want the department to come back and let us know what it costs to expend these dollars too, and I think some oversight by this committee is. So you'll see that language show up in a number of places. I'd make a note to staff, 3.22, I'd rather see the word and instead of or in there as we amend tomorrow. While it might be the same committee right now in the Senate, it's two different committees in the House, Policy and Finance, so I think both should understand what's going on here. So if you put and rather than or in all those paragraphs, that would be helpful. Remember, 3.28 is the State Soldiers Assistance Grant. Again, this is above and beyond what the department requested because, again, I feel, and I hope the committee feels, that this is money that goes right to those people that need it, whether it's hearing aids or, you know, paying a light bill that's overdue or finding temporary housing or whatever it is. This is emergency money out there for our veterans. And I want to make sure we have too much, not too little. And again, we want folks to come back next year and talk about how much it costs to expend these dollars because I would hope most of this gets right out in the hands of the veterans who really need it in the state. But that's an amount, as you can see, that's a million and a half higher than what the department asked for. Again, oversight language follows that. The next one is $1 million. Again, I believe above what the department requested, but we have it's $1 million for fiscal year 09. And the department requested $500,000. This again gets us on that path. Everyone requested it, and this money, I know that the department has worked with Veterans Affairs, with Military Affairs, with legislators, with others to develop language, which you'll see in the other part, the other bill here. It's time to start coordinating casework. We have multiple levels of veterans out there with needs. They might have fiscal needs on one level. They might have mental health needs on another level. They might have school tuition needs on another level. And so we need someone to coordinate or start helping us coordinate county by county out there. This money, we think, will be able to do just that. With some organization, we hope, will come forward on an RFP-type process and start picking up the casework load for the Department of Veterans Affairs. Again, it'll I think, go a long way, county by county, to start addressing the needs of these veterans and actually keeping track of those needs, keeping track of the monies and the programs available there. So we're looking for someone with strength and casework to help us on that. And I think that's the goal of this committee over the next couple of years is to a different way of delivering services out there. Line 4.19, again, is oversight. 4.27 is Link Vet. As you'll see, we do the department's request and also language there. After we put everything under one, we've got a higher education, believe it or not, toll-free number now, and we've got, again, we want to get everything into Link Vet, and that's what that money will be used for. Veterans Claims Office for outreach. Again, if you remember the testimony, this was a department request. We've got a lot of people that not only return, but are continuing to return from Iraq. Our veterans numbers are picking up. There's more need for department people to help these people get their benefits. That's what this money goes to, is to hire people that works directly with the veterans to get their benefits. And if you remember, we think we're in need of a female position, because there's a lot of female vets now, and sometimes that's helpful. So we are going to add hopefully a female position there also, which you see in line 5.5. 5.7 is the CDI money. The department asked for education and outreach money. We think we're beyond that. I think this committee, with the presentation we had and the study money we put last year forward, we know that TBI is a problem. We know it's a signature injury for Iraq and Afghanistan. We know it's time to move forward with a treatment program. So we've asked the deputy commissioner, and I've worked with him on this, is we're giving them money to actually design a treatment program, county by county, home by home. How are we going to actually focus and treat TBI now? I think every county veteran service officer, every veterans group, service group, organization, veterans affairs, us, we all know TBI is a problem. Let's move ahead and actually develop the treatment program. It's time to you know, get the rubber on the road. So we put that forward. We think it's enough. Obviously, we'll continue discussions to have some outside person along with the department work on developing that program. 5.19. Again, this is money that was asked for, and for the base of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. This are the folks that work with families of veterans and homeless veterans. Again, money gets, I hope, right into the pockets of the veterans. There's oversight language after that, so we can understand that when it comes back. 5.32, we've run into a strategic study, and we'll see more language in the next bill for our veterans' homes. And feasibility of healthcare delivery systems across the state, county by county. Again, we want people to sit down over the summer. You'll see that language in the other bill. This is just the money for it. To really start understanding, how are we going to deliver these services? You know, is it going to be a new home at Stock Center, Representative Heigerton, or Brainerd, or is it going to be delivery of services through Living at Home Black Nurse Program in Crookston, or is it going to, we don't know what it is, but they're going to start talking to us and letting us know what kind of services are needed and how we deliver them, and we're going to give them money to do that, obviously. 6.13, members, there was money asked for cemetery staff in the governor's request. Talking with department and others, we haven't even cleared the land for the cemetery, much less hire staff yet. Until we actually have a cemetery, until there's actually interments there, so we have something to upkeep, it's really not much more than mowing at this point. And so we're going to ask the department to come back next year and tell us what their needs are in the out years for the cemetery. We can put that in our main bill. It's not that we don't understand the need for staff. There's just not a need right now. So let's do that in the large budget here. Representative Finstead.
I don't know how you want, Mr. Chair, I don't know how you want to do this. Do you want to have a question?
Sure.
My question would be, maybe for you or the department, is there money allocated in this bill for this, that now we're just saying they can't hire staff, but they still have the money allocated?
Representative Finn said no. No money has been allocated here or in the out years yet. Again, we figure for the tails and coming in the budget year next year and explain that we need. Because remember the discussion, I said, well, we'll use the administration and some of the staff at Ripley, so we're not sure. We maybe need three, maybe five, maybe two, and well, we're going to try and discover what that need is, and for our next full budget year. We certainly are committed to that cemetery and doing what we can to staff it properly when the time comes. 6.16, again, that's all department cemetery stuff, talking about how the monies are used. There's efficiency language again in 6.23. This one needs some explaining. Again, I talked to the department. One of the things that happened when the governor signed the bill in November, the executive order, is a combination of departments. One of the reasons, Veterans Homes Board and Department of Veterans Affairs. One of the things and the reasons for that is for efficiency and hopefully saving some money, especially in the administration end, so that in the future we maybe have more funds to expend. So what we're asking them is to reduce, to live up to that and reduce administration only, not down in the healthcare areas, but in administration. We know we only need one finance director. We only need one, and she's sitting here, legislative liaison. You know, there's a lot of things that you only need one of. You only need one copier in the office, not two offices with two copiers. So we're asking to look for those efficiencies, and if that's not right, or if they don't think they can do it, that's great. Come and tell us. We're starting there for now. That was out of a budget, members, that carried over of $1.9 million. So we didn't actually cut it all. We cut about half of it, saying there should be half there, at least, of efficiency. So the administrative budget for the board was 1.9. That was a carryover when it came in. So we're taking some of that, and that helps us with our tail target for now, too. That's permanent money. 6.32, this is the Hawes GI Bill program. Remember, he asked in his bill for an increase in those benefits. There's a fiscal note on that in your folder. And this is $2, that fiscal note. And that goes along with 7.3 to 7.8. Again, that fiscal note you will see in your folder for the GI Bill. As we heard discussion in committee, there was a large amount, $12 million, $6 million a year, put towards the GI Bill. That amount still fits, most of it unencumbered, because of various reasons, but mainly because benefits came from the federal government, which we didn't know at the time. Had we not done something with this account, members, it'd probably be over in health care or environment committee or something else. So we're basically encumbering that in other places in the bill. And so we follow the fiscal note, though. The department gave us a fiscal note on what their needs are, not only this biennium, but going into the future. And all the numbers we've left in here, the money we've left in here, is matching that fiscal note. So we're not cutting anything that they expect to need, but we're reallocating the funds. And that's an important part to understand in here, because on the spreadsheet, when you get to it, it makes the spreadsheet look kind of funny. But that's what's going on, and I think that's important for members to understand very well. 7.9, 100,000, that's the Ambulance Association. Members, Trump, this is to train rural ambulance drivers with our medics that are returning from Iraq. I think an excellent idea. If it works, I hope that's enough money, and we'll get more rural ambulance drivers. 25,000, remember the peer-to-peer Kalin bill. We basically took a lot of that language out, and basically we want the department. Remember, Representative Poppy had some testimony as a counselor that there's more to it than just a three-day training session. So we want them to actually develop a program for peer-to-peer counseling for our combat vets that we can deliver county by county out there. And we think that money will be able to do that over the summer, and then we'll know what we're doing next year when we come through. Again, oversight language next. This is a new one, 7.28. Again, I want members to understand, since we're reallocating money from that fund, a lot of it I tried to, you know, keep in the veterans account, obviously. I asked the deputy commissioner what they needed out in the home. What can we do with one-time money? Could they use some? And the answer was yes. They have a medication distribution system they're working on at the homes, actually, and Representative Finstead, being on the Human Services Committee, probably understands this better, but I understand it because I went through the Wilmer Hospital. All meds and prescriptions and other things now are done electronically. There's less mistakes. You don't have to read doctors' signatures or instructions. They're done on handheld, and there's a delivery system, a secure delivery system of meds. They could use some of the systems down in our homes. So we're giving them $1 million right down to the homes to work on getting their medication distribution system updated. That's new members. That's language that came in a discussion last week with the department. So I hope that meets your approval, but certainly we can talk about that further if you need information today or tomorrow. 7.32, that's again just oversight. 8.7 is a budget request. Special revenue funds, it's money that they requested be moved and reallocated. Again, moving down, Department of Employment Economic Development. This is new too. These are two programs in the department. Indeed, they deal with veterans. Again, as people were looking at that large account sum sitting out there unencumbered, Representative Rukavina asked if we would carry these two bills one time in here since they're veterans bills, and we can get more testimony on them if you want. But they've been heard and passed in Rukavina's committee. We do the one-time money the first year only. The tails then show up in deed. So automatically when the report comes in November, you'll see a tail on this in deed. We do the one-time money that will cover these veterans programs, which again, we think are important. They're dislocated worker veterans programs and retraining programs, other things specifically for veterans. So we're just, you're carrying them here, but they'll actually, they're deed programs. Article 2, again, this is all basically language that came from the department reallocating our special funds for the license plates. That's what goes on there. And again, language at the end is correction language. Again, appropriations are available and what year they're available. It's really technical language that the department requested for money. So that's the fiscal bill, and now we'll go hopefully tomorrow over to Representative Carlson's committee and be put into the big bill. Any questions on that right now? Otherwise, obviously, everyone's got overnight to absorb this and see if there's any changes that need to be made. Okay? Yes, Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are we going to have a time for maybe the Department of Ag or Military Affairs, Veteran Affairs to come and comment maybe specifically about different line items on this? Or
If they want to, everyone's open to testify tomorrow. I encourage people to give a list if they can to our staff as soon as possible. But they'll certainly be available for questions here, too. I mean, if you have a question on medication distribution, if you have, I hope there's people after seeing this now from the departments and others, there'll be people in the room tomorrow to specifically address some of this so that we can take questions as need be and make changes if need be. I will move on then to Representative Magnus, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Article 2, do we have an idea how much the... how much money is left in the World War II memorial?
Okay, yeah, and before I move on, I promise, Representative, I'll never give you a pay cut, Representative Reinholz. I promise that Mr. Reinholz could go over the fiscal note for us, just so you know what's in front of you. We have our budget laid out line by line, governor's recs, our recs, etc., and then he can answer your question on that. Representative Magnus, too. Did you hear Representative Magnus's question?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I did. I'm looking through the fund statement from the department to find that particular item. I think I just did. The World War II match was originally has a balance, unexpended balance listed of $63,000 in the fund statement that I ran at the end of February, so I would assume that's still approximately.
And that number was the last line in the bill, last section. That money can now be reallocated to Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs for use for their, again, Veterans and Military Affairs personnel and health related services. Not to administration, but out in the field, we hope that money will go. That account balance, as you know, was raised and should be used that way. Okay, the spreadsheet. If you want to just basically explain what this is, Mr. Reinholz, so people understand it. If you're not familiar with spreadsheets, and a lot of us are new on the fiscal committees, to understand what it's really saying, especially that middle column, House versus Gov, and how it relates to the bill we just looked at.
Mr. Chairman, members should have a copy of the spreadsheet in your packet. And Chairman Junkie did a very complete job on doing the details, so I'll just keep my comments to the summary on the first page unless there's some questions. What I've laid out on the first page here is basically the reconciliation of our general fund changes in this bill to our target. Target's not included here because we really didn't have a target at the beginning of this committee. For sure, I'm relatively certain on what it is, but as long as Ways and Means passes what they intended. What you'll see here laid out by agency is the general fund changes. Both the governor's recommendations for 2008-2009, the current biennium, and the tails for the next biennium 10 and 11. And then over in the final two sets of numbers is the committee recommendations. It's titled, it's really the delete all amendment that the chairman just went through. This shows, what it shows if you go down to line 7 is what the Department of Agriculture was recommended by the governor versus what was done in the bill.
We concentrate on the column B. That will show House versus Governor. That shows you that the House, just to give an example, $2,355,000 more in this delete all amendment than the Governor recommended. The same thing goes down in the Board of Animal Health would be the next item. See, it's the same as the Governor's plan. It was just that one item. Veteran Affairs, and there were differences there, and it was all primarily related to that excess money that was not even encumbered in the higher education GI Bill. 10 is the deed, the two deed programs. What it shows, though, if you concentrate on column Y, this bill spends $2,422,000. That is the target that I was told this bill would have, so we're right on target for the current biennium. The AC column shows the future biennium, the 10 and 11, we're at $4,300,000 is the effect of the delete all. Actually, that's $250,000 below the target that we've been given for this bill. Unless there's any questions. The other two pages are just the details that would roll up into the summaries by agency. The chairman went through those items in the bill, so I won't go through those unless there's questions.
Questions in the spreadsheet? We can look at that tonight further. Again, realize the out-year target, we're below $250,000, so if there's any changes that go to the base budget, we have to keep that in mind. We only have that much to deal with in the out-years at this point, but we're in good shape right now for Ways and Means without them monkeying with our bill and taking money out on our behalf. All right, quickly, let's go through the other bill, which again has a little bit of finance. What's here left here in finance is things that don't change the budget, redirection of money and some other things, and you'll see that as we go through. But basically, it's a lot of bills. I'm just going to mention the bills. We've heard them all either in Representative Trimba's committee, Representative Conan's committee, or my committee, or a combination of all of them. So we've heard all these bills at one time, most of us, and most of us more than once. Article 1 is livestock investment grant money. Again, we've heard that. That's the old dairy tax credit language. We're going to put that in the budget. Starting on 3.13 is Saylor's waste pesticide bill down to 3.26. I'll give staff the time to mark or you to mark. 3.13 to 3.26, House File 4027, waste pesticide. Section 4, 3.27 is Hansen's bill, House File 2573 on wrong application bill. That's that drift bill we heard. Again, I think everyone's fine with that, but it's passed through our committee. That goes through 5.9. Then on page 5, 5.10, and again, as we heard on the House floor, we might want to check on this one before tomorrow. I'm asking staff this. It's the Gardner bill for putting a sign on lawn and garden fertilizer. We can take that out. I know Zellers, Representative Zellers, requested that bill down in a local government or some committee today, and Gardner agreed to bring it down there. But it's here in our omnibus bill, too, so if members want to take that out, we can, or we can talk to Gardner. But I'll ask staff to see what's the will of everyone here, and we'll talk about that. That's 5.10 through 5.26. 5.27 is the Chair's bill, House File 3362. That's that bad actor pesticide bill where if you're a bad actor in other states, you're a bad actor in Minnesota too and you don't get a license. Section 7, 6.7 is House File 3361. And again, we'll get a copy of this tomorrow too for folks so you know what bills are in here. I'll ask staff to put together a single page with all the bills that are contained in here and a brief description. House File 3361, Faust, this is the ag chemical provisions. It was a department bill that he carried forward. Next, Section 8, bottom of page 6, 6.30, House File 3507, so Trimba's department bill, food handlers, et cetera, et cetera. She wins the prize for the longest bill in here. It goes on and on and on, and there's lots of numbers. And it goes on and on to page 12, it keeps going on page 13, page 14, page 15, thank you Representative Trimba, all the way to page 16. Okay, and we heard that in both committees, and again, we don't think any change in the fees, but we're changing fee language and other things, so it's kind of a fiscal bill and kind of a not-so-fiscal bill because there's also policy things in there. Donald Bonham, Representative Shemansky, member amended, and that's that somatic stem cell thing that's included there. That was an amendment. Stem cell. What did I say? Stem cell?
Yeah.
Want to put stem cells in here, member?
No.
Okay.
No.
Somatic cell count. Shemansky added that. That's showing up in section 16 on 6.29. 6.32 is House File 4038, Owens, Board of Animal Health, request for the TV stuff. That goes through the bottom of page 17. On page 17.32, Representative Magnus and Junkie and others, NextGen had recommendations for the board. And I guess my question is, which I'm not sure if I saw it in the other fiscal bill, wasn't there some, that's later in the bill, okay. There's some fiscal implications coming later too in the bill. This just adds a fourth product member, some small things the NextGen asked for. 18.33, Otremba's MEALSI bill, again just changing the effective date, which obviously changes expenditures into the future. House File 2683, that was. Section 20 is again Olin's, more of Olin's bovine TB control bill. Some of these, the bills are written because they follow statute numbers, members. So unless you put a separate article, you'll see bits and pieces of bills show up throughout, but that's because we're tracking in the statute with the statute numbers. So when you see an omnibus bill, that's why you sometimes see pieces in other places, like here's Olin's fencing provision and other things for the bovine TB. Continues all that page. Then we get to page 20. House File 3584 is Conan's animal chiropractic bill. We had much discussion on, and maybe will tomorrow. I hope not too much, Representative Finstead, but we'll take any discussion you want.
Back to lunch.
So that's in there. That goes a number of pages. Get to page 24 is the next change. Again, this is a fiscal change, extending the BMP dollars, making sure they don't cancel and can be available the second year. So that's part of a fiscal bill, but there's really no change in the budget, so we kept that in here. So we can still call this kind of a fiscal omnibus bill, so we don't get in trouble by just saying it's a policy bill. Animal chiropractic is continued on the page 22.
Oh, I don't
know. You did what? Oh, page 22, section 27 continues that, above that too, by the way. It's all animal chiropractic stuff. Page 23, 24, okay. We're moving on. Again, you see a lot of language, which, frankly, as a chair and as a committee, should make us nervous because we know our colleagues. And when we get to the House floor and you see numbers like this showing up, value-added ag, that would be our ethanol money members. But it has to be in here because we're changing directions under the session law. So we have to put them in here, but I just want people to be aware there could well be some amendments along the way to reallocate ethanol dollars or other things, which I don't think anyone on this committee supports, but it's all there because we have to put it all in there to make a correction, which actually shows up where? 27.27, okay, that's the correction. That's, again, moving next-gen grant money into the second year so it can be used. It's not being used the first year. We want to make sure it doesn't just disappear. We want to use the money we have. Department asked for that. But again, you have to have that whole section in there, so be aware of that. Then we move to page 32. Again, we have a whole section of language to make sure that on 33.14, we again came from the department, and it's an administrative change so that their funds are available when they need them. But again, we have to put that whole section in this bill, and there's a lot of finance stuff in there. 35.24 is a continuation again of Saylor's pesticide bill that we heard. By the way, there was a fiscal notice. I just got it today on that bill. Our chemical account that pays for, our pesticide account that pays for these services of collection, we're going to run out of money in that whether we do Saylor's bill or not by 2010 or 11, so we're going to have to address it next biennium regardless, fee change, a collection fee change or something as it sits today. Saylor's bill makes it run out sooner, but not so soon that we can't do our bill next year, talk about it. So You can tell Representative Biskin, or Representative Finstead, there's not a fee change here in this bill at this point. So unless something happens tomorrow, we're in good shape there on that. There's money to get us through next year, according to the fiscal note. That continues through page 37. Page 37, bottom, is Representative Kahn's bill, House File 2168. I know this has passed all our committees unanimously, but I didn't promise Representative Kahn anything as it moves ahead. Again, this has always been a good bill, the industrial hemp bill. I know in the past, both Democrat and Republican ag chairs have supported it. Representative Finseth, not Finstead, but Finseth actually passed it last time on his committee. I remember doing it. And it's just that thing that we add, but of course, we hear from our police chiefs are about the only ones we hear for. They think it's opening a door. This, again, just to remind you, the only way in the world that this ever happens is if the federal department or federal drug enforcement admin makes this legal. It doesn't happen. There's not $1 spent. Nothing happens until the feds agree to it. So I think that's different than past bills where we actually had Minnesota pursue a permit for industrial hemp. We're not doing that. But anyway, that's the con language. It's in there. That bill was heard. The biodiesel bill is Article 2. Remember I said it'd be scattered throughout the bill unless you put a separate article. So I asked staff to separate this in an article so we can see it and deal with it as a separate entity. You've seen it. That goes all the way through page 42. No, let's see. Before that. Page 41. Then we get Article 3, which is the Veterans Affairs policy stuff. House File 3763 is the first bill you see on 41.26. That was transferring the duties of Department of Veterans Affairs with the Veterans Home Board, if you remember that bill. Section 3 on 4212 is House File 3762. That's Representative Murphy's bill again. With the governor's executive order and some of the directives that came from that, she carried that bill over for Homes Board and Veterans Affairs. That language sets up an advisory group, if you remember, and we've come back with a lot of recommendations for next year on how we should deliver services. 43.22, House File 3749, is that language dealing with the cemetery and allowing us to actually cooperate with the feds on that. And that goes down through page 45. Section 5 on 45.15 is House File 3877. That's the Hawes bill, again, GI Bill stuff. That's the language that he carried through. The money was over on the other side. Again, we're trying to keep as much of the language out of that monster bill because I'm just afraid of losing it somewhere along the line. That goes through 49, the top. Page 49.7 is House File 3763. Continued, okay, that's more of that transfer of power from Veterans Homes Board. Section 9 is the, this one's new. He's sitting in the front row. They're sitting in the front row. If there's questions today or tomorrow. This was a bill that was heard in Mulready's committee, Representative Mulready's committee. This is kind of new to us, but they asked that we put it in. It passed public safety. It was given a second reading. It's actually on the general register on the House floor. And again, this talks about a court case, veterans' mental health status. If you want more discussion on that, we can certainly have it tomorrow. These folks will be around and available to answer. But check with your all you members, check with people that are on Mulready's committee. This was heard passed, and it's out on the floor. So I think it's benign. But again, it's one of those bills I agreed to put in and give her a try. So that's why it's there. Section 10 on page 50, transfer. That's more of that transfer of powers language from the bill earlier. Section 12 is new language. Partnering and delivery of veteran services. Again, we're going to ask that the veterans sit down and talk about how we deliver services in this state and bring in people, home health care people, psychological counseling people, life skills, rehab counseling, hospice care, respite care, etc., etc. Work with them, come back with us next year and talk about how we need to fund and how we need to deliver these services county by county. And that was, again, all this came out of, arose out of that governor's directive and his task force to start moving forward on new delivery ways for Veterans Affairs. You see that reflected in Section 13 language also. Only this is more specific to the Veterans Homes Group. To again take a comprehensive look, it sets up a group of people, including members, Veterans Affairs, City of Minneapolis, and others, to not only look at, as you read through this language, you'll talk about putting together a plan, 25-year plan for our veterans' homes, but also then to specifically focus on the Minneapolis home, which, as members heard and we know, we have to do something with it. We do have to produce more rooms there. We've got some problems with buildings. At the same time, what's the best cost-effective way to do that? What is the best benefit? What's even needed there? Do we need long-term care there in conjunction with the VA clinic across the road? Do we need, I mean, let's have all these people sit down, including legislators from Minneapolis that's directed in here, so we can get some buy-in from them on this. We never see them in this committee, by the way. And let's talk about this and understand where we need to go, and we're willing to do anything that we have to. I know I'll personally, and I suspect anyone in here, carry a bill with any recommendation they come forward with. So we want to take care of things, but we want to do it in a very directed way. So you see all that language through 52, and you can read it over. If you have some other ideas on that, we're happy to hear about it. Section 14, page 53. County, what's this one? Oh, yeah. Remember we asked, the department asked for some county veteran service officers to be hired within their department, some oversight people and others. This is the language that we talked about that day. We're going to get the county veteran service officers to actually meet with the department, which I think is very good, and they've all agreed to do it, and they're shaking their head yes. So that next year they can come back and tell us what we really need, what statutory language needs to be changed, what oversight should we have, et cetera, et cetera. So this is all that to give us direction for next year's budget, rather than just funding someone now and kicking off our county veteran service offices that we're somehow doing something sneaky and we want to oversee them. We're going to ask everyone to sit down, come back, and hopefully we have a happy group hug on what to do with that next year. Section 15 on 54 is more of that transfer language, Board of Homes Board to Veterans Affairs, and that goes to the end of the bill. Again, all these, most of these things, that some of that rider language you've seen before, and happy to take any questions now. Otherwise, we've been here a little less than an hour. I promise we'd be out of here in an hour. Again, a reminder, please bring amendments as early as possible. We got to copy them. We got to get them to people in the audience. We have to let testifiers know if possible. Representative Finn said, anything you need. We can't really meet as a group. I'm happy to meet with your members separately if need be. I'm happy to meet with your caucus separately if you need, although that scares me a little bit. But I'm happy to do anything you want, obviously, and just let me know what you need, and we want to work together on this. Again, some of these bills are a little different than we've seen in the past, and maybe have a little controversy to them, but hopefully we can get this thing out and off the House floor in good shape. Any questions? Representative Heinrichsen sent eerily silent today. That's good. All right. With that, members, I thank you for your attention. I especially thank the staff. Get amendments into us. We'll put this together 10 o'clock tomorrow in our usual hearing room down in the basement. Yes. Mr. Cleary.
Hey, Chairman, I had worked a bit with Representative Schmansky on an amendment.
Okay.
I believe you knew about that, the lawful, just to remind you.
And we'll do that tomorrow. Yep, you bring it in, we'll put it on for you. And Representative Broad and Cipher and everyone else that have drawn with that. I know you introduced the bill, so that's good. We want that tomorrow. Any amendments like that, give them to the staff or have our staff write them up, get them to the committee. All right? Seeing no further business, we're adjourned.